Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome in to the Tighten Up Podcast on the A to Z Sports Podcast Network.
I'm Jack Gentry alongside Austin Huff. You can find us both on Twitter. I'm at Jack A. Gentry. He's at Austin Huff. We are the Tighten Up Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tighten Up Pod. Follow us on Instagram. We're at Tighten Up Podcast. And as always, make sure you're following A to Z Sports on every social media platform.
This is episode number 210. The somebody please give Austin Huff a hug of souls. That one comes to us via Kyle Robinson at KRobbieXC. If you're a follower of this podcast, follow him because he is a Tupper. And let's grow the community. Let's grow the community of Tighten Up idiots who listen to this podcast. But look, we've got Mike Keith joining the podcast today. And this is Mike's third or fourth time on. I can't remember. But that's just me name dropping to like let you know how good of friends we've become that I don't even remember how many times he's been on the pod. But I am going to talk to him about Derrick Henry because we, as I mentioned on the pod, as I name dropped on the pod last week, we had a texting conversation back and forth. And I'm sad still. I'm frustrated, as I'm sure many of you are, that Derrick Henry will no longer be a Tennessee Titan. And not only that, but be a Baltimore Raven. And I feel like it could have worked if the Titans really wanted to, especially now with these offensive gurus that they've got manning the battle station. But we'll get into that with Mike Keith. But yeah, please somebody give me a hug. Actually, Jack gave me a hug on Friday for the first time in our lives. We're going to get to that as well with our very first date after 4 years of flirting online every single week. But before we get to any of that, let's first get a word from our friends at BetMGM.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code A to Z Sports and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, and daily boosted odds specials. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Tennessee only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. First online real money wager only. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
And with all that said, let's talk Titan.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm sucking holes.
What is up, Flameheads? Welcome to the Titan Up Podcast. Today is March 21st, 2024. And after 4 years of extensively flirting online, we have finally done it. We have gone on our very first date. Cue the Blink 182, if you will. Jack and I met in person for the first time in 4 years of doing this podcast. And Jack and I was kind of reminiscing a little bit about the time since it's been, since we started this podcast. And there's been a lot of life changes. For one, I moved to Chicago shortly after, about a year into doing this podcast. I had not only my first kid, but later on I had my second kid. Within Chicago, I've moved not once, not twice, but three times since moving here. And Everything's pretty much stayed the same for you this entire time. But a lot of life changes in those few years of starting this podcast.
Yeah, Derrica Henry, Christina Johnson Huff. I mean,
yeah,
you've had a lot going on, but it was nice to kind of come up to your turf and see the lay of the land. It was a busy weekend, a wild weekend, by the way. I thought we maximized our time together on Friday, as I essentially just ditched my friends and hung out with you the whole time. but hey, it was well worth it. We blasted off Titans takes. We drank a couple beers, margaritas.
Yeah.
I took tequila shots. And, you know, that was the beginning of my trip in Chicago. I wish I could have seen you on the parade route because I'm sure you crushed it over there. But, yeah, overall 10 out of 10 weekend.
Yeah, I was in the St. Patrick's Day parade the next day through my day job with the radio station. And the Friday prior, I had finished off work and Jack was like, do you want to get a beer? He's like, you don't feel like you have to. And I was like, no, dude, this is the start of my weekend. You better bet your ass I'm getting a beer.
It was that you text me. I said, hey, we're going to be here. And you're like, okay, that's only like a 30 minute walk. So I'll be right there. I was like, wait, what? You're like, yeah, I really walk all over the place. So this is kind of like therapy for me. So I'm just going to walk on over to you. And I was like, okay, cool. We're going to be here for a while. So come on over.
Look, city living, and I miss that about living in the city. And after moving to the suburbs, I never walk anywhere. You drive everywhere, and it sucks. And so I miss that. So when you're like if you're within 45 minutes, I'm walking to you. And full disclosure, I had just come from like a breakfast / like lunch, and I was coming over to you. And within the city, you have to be strategic because there are no public restrooms in the city of Chicago, like anywhere. And I knew this obviously from experience. And so I went to the bathroom before venturing on my quest, my 30 minute quest from basically Streeterville in Chicago to the West Loop. For anyone familiar, basically that was only for Sam Phelan. Anyone else doesn't know the neighborhoods in Chicago, but I walk over, and upon arriving, I'm like, I'm looking for you, and I see you're with some friends, and I was like, oh, there he is, okay. And then I was like, but I have to pee so bad. So, and I knew if we caught eyes, I was going to be in a conversation for, you know, no less than 5-10 minutes because it was our first time meeting in person. Yeah. And so I saw you and I was like, okay, he's at an angle. I'm kind of blocked by a pillar. Like maybe I could scoot by without him seeing me. So I start to scoot by and boom, that's when he laid eyes on me and you go, there he is. And I was like, no, I was like, oh, awesome. Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess we're doing this now. I did piss so bad. And then after a while, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go grab a beer. You're like, okay, yeah, yeah, cool. I was like, what are you drinking, a Mark? I was like, okay, yeah, maybe I'll do a Mark. And so I went to go grab a Mark. But before I went to grab my Mark, I went to the bathroom first because I had to drain the freaking fire hose, dude. It was a big old piss right before sitting down and talking to you. And then my wife was like, so what did you and Jack, like, what was it? How was it? How was it catching up? Like, you know, getting to see him in person for the first time. She's like, what'd you guys talk about? And I was like, honestly, basically just the Titans the whole time. Like I'd say 95% of our probably 3 hours together were spent talking about the Titans, which is what we do every single week anyway.
We're sickos. I mean, let's just call it what it is. We're just sick people. I did not know you had to drain the main Quentin Spain that bad though. I thought I had went before you, but yeah, it was a long day, and I don't blame you. A 30-minute walk over, a big day at the station. You know, you probably had a lot going on, but look, it was a great time. And yeah, we did just pretty much talk Titans the whole time. But there's so much to talk about. It's just this off season is so fun, and like where we're headed feels great. So
there's hope. There's hope for like the first time in like 2 years. Yeah,
it's just easier now than it was last year, and I think after kind of, you know, wandering through the dark abyss the last two off seasons, it's been tough. And, you know, with the money they've had tied up in Tannehill and some of these other guys, it's essentially just the only things you talked about were, okay, well, how do they take the next step with the same group? Now it's, okay, we're looking to take a couple steps here with a totally new group And a group that's continuing to add new players, as the Titans signed another guy today, Sebastian Joseph Day, to pair with Jeffrey Simmons up inside that defensive interior. Still some moves to be made. We'll talk to Mike Keith about a couple of them. Titans are still talking, apparently, to the Kansas City Chiefs about bringing one L'Jarius Sneed to town, although that's a little more complicated right now than I think both sides would like, as some clarity needs to happen before the draft. But I mean, this just goes back to my point. Like, all of these different things we have to talk about are just so interesting to me. And that's what makes talking Titans fun, like, oh, at least over the last couple of weeks, and hopefully for the next few months as we get closer and closer to training camp.
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone who subscribes to this podcast, and would, again, if you are subscribed to this podcast, remember, leave a comment, rating, and a review. Only 5 stars for Buck, 4.5 stars for the Titan Up Idiots. Anyone who's subscribed to this podcast, I don't think really has any care whatsoever about our first date. But we led things off with it on this podcast, mainly because it's probably the only thing you'll hear us say prior to the reason you're all here. It's Mike Keith. So let's not waste any time. Let's get to the voice of the Tennessee Titans. Let's get to Mike Keith! Punch in my cup. Night just getting started. I'm already doing too much. Reach down in my pocket, my wallet missing. Let's just do it. Let's go. We've got literally the legend, the icon. Honestly, there aren't enough words in the human language to describe the man that is joining us today, Jack Gentry. But also Mike Keith. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. Mike Keith is literally one of our favorite uncles on this podcast, and he's been so gracious to join us multiple times, and we are always gracious for him and his time. Mike, thank you for doing this yet again, despite our idiocracy.
Well, Austin and Jack, it's good to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. Now, we know you as the voice of the Titans, but for today, we need you to be the voice of reason, because I know we are more than a week removed from it, but I'm still not over it, nor do I think I ever will be. But Derrick Henry, no longer a Tennessee Titan, it's probably the toughest pill to swallow. All right. Any pill that I feed my dog is easier to swallow than this one. Yeah. And I am going through just a world of emotions. I thought I was over it, but then it's kind of like the AJ Brown trade, where it'll just randomly pop up in my brain, and then I'll just go in this dark hole of thoughts. You were gracious enough to text me shortly after it happened. I think
I was
worried
about you.
I appreciate that.
I was worried. Austin.
You might have saved his life.
You might have, honestly. I was on a ledge, and I was like, Mike Keith? Okay, I guess I'll go back inside. And I was going through it, and you were like, look, you're really going to like Tony Pollard. He's going to be awesome. He's going to fit this offense extremely well. And you were being very positive, which you always are. You're a positive guy, and I think that's one of the reasons why you're beloved as the voice of the Titans. But, Mike, I think I will love Tony Pollard. I'm not debating that. I'm going to miss Derrick Henry because I still think Derrick Henry is the best, if not the second best, running back in the sport. And then to see him walk for about the same price that you're paying Tony Pollard. And I don't know. I was going through it. Why help me is basically where I'm going with this question.
Well, there are a lot of factors in that. And I was worried about you. And I was worried about a lot of people, and people that I know and people that I don't know, who were taking it so hard. Because it is hard. We've never had a player that, while they were a player, people took into their hearts the same way. Now, Eddie George was a big deal to people, but it's like he's continued to become a big deal even after his career. Steve McNair was a bigger deal, really, toward the end of his career. I mean, he got booed at one point, and then he became the MVP and became beloved, went to Baltimore, came back, played against us, and was cheered in that game. And then, you know, his whole thing continued to build until his untimely passing. But this guy, while he played, knowing what a big star he was, the all-time leading high school rusher in the country, Heisman Trophy winner, played in the SEC at Alabama, comes to us. I mean, everybody who knew football knew Derrick Henry's name the minute we drafted him. And then it takes him a while to become the guy, and he explodes in a nationally televised game on a Thursday night and then has one of the great five-year runs in NFL history. He's got all of these great highlights, long runs, stiff arms, touchdown passes. He's a star. He's not just a player, but he's a star. And then off the field, turns out he's a really good guy, too. He helps kids and people who've lost their houses in fires and all of these sorts of things. So in this entire quarter century that we've played as the Titans, he is the guy that, as a player, is unmatched during their time as a player in your hearts. And so that's completely different. But then you take the moment in time. You know, he cost 16-4 last year against the cap as a running back, which was the highest total in the league. And you're making a commitment there to a running back that is, I mean, it's unmatched. I mean, San Francisco did something very different with Christian McCaffrey. His number this year was less than $4 million. It'll go up next year, but I mean, it's hard for what today's game is in high school and college and then the pros with everybody using two or three backs and all of them being 5'9 to 6 feet tall and 190 pounds to 210 pounds. It's a different time. It's a different time for us offensively. It's a different time in Derek's career. I think from a business perspective, you feel, and from a football perspective, it's the right moment. He's gone to a place where he certainly fits. He's not the number one option anymore with Lamar Jackson. That's great for him. He won't have to come off the field in certain downs because for Baltimore, they don't have obvious passing downs. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, his style of game fits there, but it was time. It was a moment, and it made sense. That didn't mean it made sense to your heart. And when they put him on the purple throne and everything, with the purple suit and the crown, I mean, I had to turn away. I was like, ooh, you know, you just like, you know, yeah. I get it. I totally understand what everybody feels, but I've also been preparing for it for a year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought they might trade him. They apparently were close to trading him, just like the Kevin Byard thing, which was really hard. I know Kevin better personally than I know Derek, and so that one is still – that still stings me. But it makes sense from the standpoint that $14 million safeties don't exist anymore. They just don't. And $16.4 million running backs against the cap don't exist anymore either. So long answer to your question, but – I think it is something that requires a long answer.
Yeah, he was one of the few Titans like that I remember, at least, that was not only like feared universally, but also revered universally. Like, I feel like every person in the league knew Derrick Henry and like had respect for him. And he was probably the most humble human being to ever go through a role like that. And that perfect storm made him. I mean, he did. I said it in a video for Cork Bets that he is my favorite Titan of all time, and that surpasses Eddie. That surpasses Steve. That surpasses, you know, Frank. That everyone that has come before him, he has been like, he's the number one now, and I'm just it is.
I get it. I mean, that doesn't
cry.
I mean, that's the thing about being a fan. Is you dig in that way, and it's more than just about the games and the players. It becomes about the people. And you feel like you know the people, especially in a market like this one, where you can literally go to Kroger and see, you know, players in there, or you go to the mall and you see players. And it's like how I grew up with the country music stars, being, you know, being in the Shoney's breakfast bar line with, you know, Ralph Emery. I mean, that was a big deal. You know,
but now
it's grown beyond that to where it's being in the Starbucks line with Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban, which totally freaked me out, by the way. And I mean, completely. And Keith's great, but it was really because of Nicole. But that's
Nicole, right? Yeah, for sure.
She's got wide receiver size.
We've seen Days of Thunder. Sure.
Yeah, I sold shoes to Conway Twitty at Castronaut Harding Mall.
That is.
I mean, so you've had, and I think hopefully this place, even as big as it gets, will always keep that about it. And nobody like flipped out and lost their mind and said, you know, people feel like they can move around here, because fortunately for our players and for other famous people who've come here, people will say, hey, enjoy what you do. Appreciate you, you know, congratulations on the great season or the hit record or whatever, but it's more neighborly. And I think Derek took to that. Derek liked that part of it. Derek will be part of this community in some way when he's done, like so many others. Kevin Byard will too. They'll come back. And for somebody who's your age, you weren't affected the same way as many of us were when these others left 20 years ago, when we had the massive purge after the 2004 season, 19 years ago, technically. And to see all those guys go wear their uniforms, and, you know, that was hard. And this area had never been through it before. And so they felt like betrayed, and how could this happen? And this team was supposed to stay together forever. It's like my mom said, you know, she was just so brokenhearted when Javon Kurz left and went to Philadelphia. It is the business. Mm-hmm. And having seen it for a long time, I'm very thankful that I've had the chance to see it for a long time and will continue to. But that's part of it in what I do and those of us in this building do. You have to accept.
What's the go-to item at the Shoney's breakfast bar?
Well, it was always sausage gravy. And biscuits event, you know, but I mean, the first thing I would be at would be the sausage gravy, and everything would be mixed into the sausage gravy. So you'd get bacon, you'd get sausage, you'd get biscuits, you'd get eggs, and you would put it all together. It was what's now known as the cardiologist special.
Mike, you've gotten to call some amazing plays from some really electrifying players since, you know, you've been the voice of the Titans. Chris Johnson, you just mentioned Javon Kurz, Steve McNair late in games when he gets going was unlike anything I'd ever seen. Derrick Henry, obviously the latest. Where would you say he ranks in terms of some of your favorite players to call an electrifying play, like a really long run, or maybe it's a long touchdown pass, or a sack, or, you know, a pick,
or where he stiff-armed a guy into the Cumberland River.
Exactly. Maybe it's a made field goal. Where does Henry rank on your list in terms of favorite players to call play for?
He and McNair are the two tops right together, because McNair had that dramatic, Henry was more spectacular. McNair was so dramatic. The 4th and 10 at Houston in 2003, when he's playing with the broken bone in his ankle, you know, the 2002 at the Meadowlands, the comeback where he'd taken the shot in his rib cage and the shot had worn off and he was in so much pain he could hardly stand up. And, you know, so many moments with McNair diving over the goal line, running over a New England Patriot on Monday Night Football in 2002. And just so much, Steve. The difference is these plays that Derek would complete, you know, where he would start on these runs and you're thinking, okay, he's going to gain 20. Well, maybe he's going to gain 40. he's going to gain 60, but he's not going to score. And then he would score. Yeah. You know, he would finish these plays. And CJ did that too. CJ had that for a period of time. Unfortunately for CJ, he was not on as good at teams as what Derek was. And because of that, the moments for Derek were more spectacular because they were more important to key victories.
Right. So right.
Derek Henry and Steve McNair right at the top.
Austin and I have talked about this. We talked about this last week. You know, a lot of Titans fans only want the best for Derrick Henry moving forward. I'm one of them. I want the best for Derrick Henry moving forward. But I've seen a lot of comments online. You know, I'm glad Derrick Henry is going to get a shot to win a Super Bowl. Mike, I know we'd all be happy for Derrick Henry to win a Super Bowl. But if he did it with the Ravens, that would sting pretty badly. And then Henry might start getting remembered as, hey, you know, he was the guy that brought the Ravens to a Super Bowl. And even though that it was never his fault here, obviously. Would that still hurt you to see if Derrick Henry ended up winning the big one in a different jersey?
Well, I can't say I'm ever happy when the Ravens win.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, all right. You're one of us.
Unless they're beating one of the teams in the AFC South.
Yeah. But they won't be playing those guys in the Super Bowl.
You need to understand this. I don't like anybody. I'm not for anybody. I'm for the Tennessee Titans. Right here. I mean, our former players or certain cities where I like to vacation or a place I like to eat, doesn't matter. I'm only for you if you're helping the Titans. If there's nothing to do with the Titans, I generally just watch the game and I don't care. I'm invested in one team for one goal, and that's for you to help us on our way to winning the Super Bowl. So whoever has a happy story at that moment, again, doesn't mean, I mean, Kevin Dyson went to the Super Bowl with the Carolina Panthers. People don't remember that, but he did.
Oh, my gosh.
I love Kevin Dyson. I do. And he knows that. He knows how much I care for him as a human being and always have. We have a really special bond and a special relationship. And I wanted them to beat the Patriots because I hate the Patriots.
Yeah.
You know, so everything is a lesser of two evils to me. I'm just being, you know, I don't know if this makes me less of a person or if some people think, man, that guy has anger in his heart. No, I have love in my heart for the Tennessee Titans and the great Titans fans. That's
our guy. The good guys.
So have a nice day, and at some point we'll all sit around and tell great stories like I have with these other guys who went away and came back. And it doesn't mean I'm not happy for them, but I'm here for the fireball. I'm here for the two-tone blue, baby. I want to see there be a parade down Broadway carrying the Lombardi Trophy. That's all I'm about. So any other happiness story can be written. I'm happy for other broadcasters. Hey, Jerry Sandusky is the broadcaster for the Baltimore Ravens. He is a great guy. His son, Zach, lives in Nashville. He's a great guy. I mean, if he wins the Super Bowl, good for him, you know? But if it ain't the Titans, eh.
Yeah. That's what it's Jerry said. Jerry with a G. Don't go Googling
That's
it.
Exactly okay. right.
Yeah.
And he is a wonderful person.
No, I'm so glad that you said that because that was essentially my take. You know me, how much I love Derrick Henry.
Sure.
But I said, you know what? Look, as much as I love Derrick Henry, and I love Derrick Henry.
Right.
I hope he rushes for 2,000 yards. I hope they go 0-17. I don't want him to win a ring because that means that's a year where the Titans are not winning a ring.
That's
and
right.
A lot of people was like, oh, go win your ring, King. Go off and win your ring. Why? Why would you want him to go win a ring with someone else? Because that means that's one ring that the Titans do not have a shot at winning. And look, am I naive to be like, oh, are the Titans Super Bowl contenders? Forget that. I don't care. It's the principle of the thing.
Well, that and it could happen at any time. You know,
right.
You can look at a team on paper and say, you know, they don't have a shot. You got a shot every year.
Yeah.
I mean, because there are teams that have won three or four or five games and come on and won Super Bowls the next year. You never know. That's just like for Detroit. Mm-hmm. Dan Campbell said it afterwards.
Yeah.
They lost to San Francisco. I mean, they may go back to the NFC Championship game every year for the next 10 years, and they may go to every Super Bowl for the next 10 years, or guess what? They may never be that close ever again.
Right, right.
That's how hard it is in this game. Yeah. And I want this for our fans. Our fans deserve it. They deserve to have the Super Bowl. They deserve to have the championship. And when we win one, then I'm going to want another one. And then another one. I mean, that's the way you have to be, in my opinion, with a mindset in professional football all the time. And that's how our personnel staff is downstairs. That's what they're working toward. That's what our coaching staff's working toward. And again, there will be people who will logically say, well, you're not a Super Bowl contender. Okay, I get that. I understand that. But to all 32 teams, nobody thinks that way. It sounds crazy when some people say it out loud and the public hears it, the media hears it, and they get laughed at. I understand that. But I think to compete in the way that you have to, where it's this close all the time, you got to have that mindset.
All right. Shifting gears real quick. We have the privilege of talking to the great Roy Firestone with us. I got to know, why is it that free agents come to town and immediately upon arrival, you have them in tears? Look, I get it. Big dog, you know, on campus, the in the prison yard, you have to flex your guns and let them know who's boss, like whose territory it is. But to make the new guys cry so quickly, Mike, Calvin Ridley, my goodness.
Yeah, that was so surprising. Ashley Farrell found the interview that we did with him, and it jumped out to me when we watched it. See, we used to do 30 visits, as they're known. Each team can bring in 30 players before the draft. We used to do 30 visits with every player. And that was during a time where the majority of the players that were brought in were going to be first round picks. Mm-hmm. And so you interviewed all these big name guys. I mean, I've got an interview with Leonard Williams I did in 2015 that was really good. We mentioned on the OTP how much we got to enjoy meeting Jameis Winston when he came in on his 30 visits. So many guys that it's been interesting to meet them, and some it wasn't so interesting, but that's another show. That'll be the last week I'm on the job, I'll tell that story.
Yeah.
But he was a good guy. Calvin Ridley was just a good guy. And when he went through some of the things he went through later, it always kind of hit me. I said, you know, he was a decent, I mean, you meet somebody, I don't know everything about them. I don't know, you know, every bit of their history or the mistakes they've made. I haven't seen their report card or known how they, you know, how nice they were to their mom or something. I don't know those things. But as a human being, you meet somebody, you think, yeah, that guy's really a good guy. You know, just a good guy. And in most cases, people really are, and he was an exceptionally good guy. And so when we showed him that interview, I think it struck him how long the last 6 years have been for him. Mm-hmm. Ashley did an amazing job finding that, and I was dumbfounded by how emotional he got. We had hoped to do a little bit more of an interview with him, and it was obvious it was just over because he couldn't go on. And when the camera turned off, his family came in, and his wife and his daughter were there, and he was still just trying to pull it back together at that moment. I mean, it's just very genuine, and that's the way we found him on and off the air. You know, I don't know how many passes that he'll catch. I hope it's a lot. I sure do think he's talented. I sure am excited that he's here, but he was very good to us, that's for sure, and we appreciated the time.
It was really cool because right when you pulled up that 2018 pre-draft, you saw it in his eyes. They started to kind of glaze over. And then you said, you know, you got to take care of your mom. And he looks over to his right. I was like, okay, I think either his mom or his family's in the building here.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know what that was like off camera once it ended, because it did seem like, you know, there was a whole nother part to that interview that you guys had ready for him. That, you know, at that point, you got what you needed there. And
yeah.
Ridley, you know. I don't even know if he could have moved on. I don't know how I would have reacted in that situation, honestly, because it was really special. And the way he was answering those questions, Mike, when he was coming out of college, I mean, the maturity, the genuineness. He's an open book. And I told Austin, I was like, felt like he's really not PR trained, and that's what's so awesome about him, right?
Yeah, because it's like raw. It's genuine.
You get this stuff out of him that you won, you know, a guy, you know, maybe that played for Mike Vrabel or somebody else. He just feels special, and he feels like he's in the right place.
It does. And, you know, he talked about the process that this was his first chance to pick where he played in the pros. And so that was a big deal to him, and that he felt like he was really wanted here and was excited. I was excited to hear him say he wants the ball. Mm-hmm. Give me a receiver like that any day of the week. I mean, listen, yeah, some of those guys, you're going to have to put up with little stuff because they want the football. We saw Travis Kelce in the Super Bowl, and everybody made this massive deal. And yes, he shouldn't have touched Andy Reid, but for people to think that that's the first time a receiver's gotten mad because he didn't get the ball, the good ones want the ball. Mm-hmm. Because
yeah, Keyshawn wrote an entire book about it. Yeah, that's the damn ball.
That's right. You're exactly right. But I'm fired up to have him here because I think he adds a lot to our franchise. But I think, you know, what he adds on the field with his route running and the speed, and to have DeAndre get to play with him is a tremendous compliment. And hopefully, too, what it's going to do for Treylon Burks, how it's going to be able to lift his game in a different way by working with some older guys who know how to do it the way they know how to do it. From my standpoint, I was kind of freaked out because I didn't know him well enough to sort of understand that he started to get emotional and then he kind of leveled off. And then I looked over and it was clear he was really getting emotional. And Amy and I were kind of, now what do you do? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hope it came across how it was because, listen, I mean, we're the team and there's a certain style of media that we're going to do. And what we try to do is we try to show people some elements that only we would have, like that 30 visit tape from 2018 where I was wearing the Band-Aid because I'd knocked myself out 2 days earlier.
That story was bizarre in its own right.
It was bizarre. Yeah, it was bizarre. And, you know, but those are real things. And how do we tell those real stories in a different way? I mean, I hope we do. And that's what we're striving to do on radio and TV and the podcast. And in moments like that, you're just very thankful you have people around you like Amy Wells and Ashley Farrell who happen to remember all of those things you've done, because Amy remembered the Band-Aid story. I thought I looked like I had a Band-Aid on, but I wondered, was that just the sun? And the reality is I knocked myself out on a metal pole.
Yeah. I just assumed it was like back when Nelly was big, you know, it's just,
yeah. That could have happened too. But, I literally knocked myself out going to get a piece of equipment for Ashley while she was shooting in the bubble, during, I guess, an OTA.
Yeah.
Maybe a local pro day or something. Yeah.
And in the middle of that, Calvin Ridley was like, oh, like a light went on in his head. He's like, oh, yeah, you had the Band-Aid on.
You're the guy with the Band-Aid.
I thought that was really cool. But you just hit on Treylon Burks and what this move might do for him. And I think, you know, he's had a really unlucky beginning to his career with the injury stuff, the asthma stuff, you know, new quarterbacks, new coordinators. All these moving parts are not good for young receivers or young quarterbacks. And I think that the Ridley move is going to open up some opportunities on the inside for Treylon Burks. How do you think that the Titans will plan on using him with D-Hop on one side and Ridley on another?
Well, I mean, listen, what we saw in camp last year, they certainly had a plan for him. And then we go to Minnesota and he hurts the knee. And the thought was he's out for the year. You know, at first, I mean, he walks in off the practice, or he has to be carried in off the practice field. And so then he not only sprains the knee and misses the games, but he's missing practice time, which at that point in his career he needs. And so then he comes back and, you know, he hurts the knee again and he has a concussion and, you know, he needs better luck. That's true. But, I mean, it's go time. you get into year three and you were first round pick, and he has shown flashes. We've seen him have some big games and make some big plays, and we just need that to come to fruition. And having these other guys around him means there are going to be opportunities there for him to do that. And I'm hopeful. He's a good guy. He really is. And he's a hard worker. He worked hard, stayed here, worked hard last offseason. That's not a bunch of lines. And I wasn't the only guy who said something nice about how he was playing in training camp. Other people saw it. You know, there were other people who watched and said, oh man, he's really better. Hopefully he'll be able to take that forward.
Yeah, and on the other side, the weapons added, it will help, will make him better in turn.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And I'm excited to see what he can do, especially with another full offseason, knowing whose quarterback will be for hopefully the full 17-game slate. I feel like we're going to see the best of Treylon Burks this season. But on the other side of the ball, he's going to get better because he's going to get to go up against guys in practice like Cheeto. Help me out, Mike. Awuzie? Awuzie? How are we doing this?
It's a Wuyi.
A Wuyi. Okay.
I did not see that coming.
Yeah, that's the pronunciation. I had to work on it. A Wuyi.
A Wuyi.
Sounds like you're just saying yes in French.
Well, but that's really what it comes down to. Is it? It's a. I don't know. But he explained.
We'll call him Cheeto until we figure it out.
He explained the. Sort of the background behind it. That's the pronunciation in Nigerian. In the United States, he's always been called a Woozy. And so I've thought a lot about it, and Amy and I talked about it a lot, Amy Wells, and not the owner. I didn't really call her in discussion. but I said, I don't know. I said, how do you call that during a game? How do you, you know, when a play's happening quickly, how do you spit that out? And so I've, you know, referenced some other announcers and what they've done with it, and he's a Woozy. He'll be a Woozy with me.
Okay, good.
Now I know how to say it properly. I will say it properly when I'm introducing him in person. I will continue to work on it. I'll be respectful. But he said in the interview he did on the OTP that it was just fine if I called him a Woozy, so that's what I'm going to go with.
Mike, you're talking to two of the biggest idiots ever, so I don't think you need to defend your mastery of the English language to us.
But we were on top of the Westbrook Akine. But credit to us.
Yeah, that is true. That was us. We did. Yeah, we got that straight out of him on this podcast. We got less than 5 minutes to go before we run out of time. And honestly, it's probably a good thing because we would literally sit here and yap your ear off for 3 hours, Mike. There are some good things that happen when Jack and I get together in person for the first time ever, which we did this past weekend. One of which was, Art, look, the take machine never stops, okay? When you're as good at what it is that we do as Jack and I are, you just can't turn it off, and we could not. And over the weekend while we were together, we came up with a brilliant take that neither of us had come up with in 4 years of doing this podcast together, and that is – And I want to get your take on this, like where you come out on this, but why is it that the Titans always have the hottest backup quarterbacks? You know, Mason Rudolph just signs, and he is a damn Pixar character.
He's a smoke show.
Yeah.
He's an attractive man. I don't know. I saw this from you, and I prepared this for the podcast today because I did go back through and, Neil O'Donnell. Even today,
he's another good one.
He's a very handsome man.
Billy Volek.
Yeah, the girls used to swim. I have no idea.
we had someone on Twitter replied and just showed a photo of the bachelorette parties in Nashville. But I feel like that's more of a recent answer.
That's because, more recent. This is 25 years. Yeah,
exactly. Matt Castle, hello.
Yeah, well, and
the Met Show,
and then you had Jake Locker, who was the backup to Matt Hasselbeck.
Yes,
and then Matt Hasselbeck, who was the backup to Jake Locker.
He made Charlie Bald look good.
Charlie Whitehurst and Zach Mettenberger, and I mean it is on and on. There's no question.
Rusty Smith, if you're into redheads.
Yeah, I like to say that's the reason why I haven't been the Titans' backup quarterback. Mike, before we get out of here, we got 2 minutes and 40 seconds. I got to know, and this is something I just kind of popped in my brain. You're obviously known for iconic calls from, you know, the start of your career to now, and iconic things within every single game, every Sunday that you get, one of which, the most famous arguably, is your sack call. And I don't think I've ever asked you this before, but how did that first start to just go from just, hey, oh, sack, you know, to...
Yeah, the whole long...
Yeah.
So I did it in a preseason game my second year to wake Rhett Bryan up during a fourth quarter of a preseason game. And then I went to my daughter's school the next week. She was in kindergarten for take your dad to work day or something. And kids asked me to do it. When they got the question and answer time, they said, would you yell sacked? And it had gotten some attention. Somebody had made fun of it on a morning show or something. It had gotten, which is great. So I did it, and the kids all just dug it because I was yelling in my outside voice inside school. And my daughter was just hee-haw laughing. And because she liked it, I said, well, I'm going to keep doing that. Because if my daughter likes it, then if nobody else does, it's our thing.
Right.
And she still thinks they're all for her.
Yeah.
All these years later, that every time I do it, I'm saying hello to her.
Now, would you, on her way to school, would you pack her lunch in a...
You know, there have been a lot of things. People have always wondered why Kroger didn't do some sort of commercial with that. Or,
right.
You know, there seems to be something there. But I love defense. The truth of the matter is I love defense so much more than offense. So... To be able to get just as excited about a defensive play as I do about a touchdown, that means a lot to me. Because, man, when you get after the quarterback, there's nothing better. Nothing better.
Mike, you are the absolute man. We want to thank you so much, as always. Guys, the only podcast you should be listening to outside of this podcast is the OTP, the Official Titans Podcast. Mike and Amy... crush it. And Ashley Farrell, another Mizzou girl. That's probably why they do so well with that podcast. Mike, thank you so much, dude. You are the man.
Love you, Mike.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
There are no flags on the field. It's a miracle. Tennessee has pulled a miracle.
I'm going to revert to one of the old sports talk radio tropes that as a producer for over a decade plus for in sports talk radio that I absolutely despised and I hated, where radio hosts, usually the lazy ones, would keep a segment open after a scheduled big time guest, and they would leave that segment open to take phone calls and to just chat openly about the previous guest that was. I used to hate that. I, as a producer, I thought it was so lazy and so lame to just have reaction to what you just heard, because I'm just like, look, time is ticking. Okay. Like keep going, give more sports take, talk more sports, do whatever, but don't just regurgitate the answers that you just got from the big time guest. That's boring. However, Jack, I want to take a moment here to regurgitate some of the answers we got from Mike Keith. My goodness, that was so much fun. We've had him on a couple of times, and I feel like this time he was poignant. He was, you know, very heartfelt, very like just all over the world, like funny. Just Mike Keith is a damn treasure, and we should be so lucky to get to hear him call our favorite team's football games every Sunday afternoon.
You know, we've had him on a few times, and just the depth that he goes into and the insider knowledge that he has. He gets to see these guys, talk to these guys, hang out with these guys all the time. But this interview was a little different, I think. You know, I think we got to see just how much Mike loves the Titans. I think my favorite part of that interview was him saying, I only care about our guys. This is the only team that I want to see.
I love that.
What happens outside of Nashville, to hell with it. This is it. This is it for me. That was really cool. Because we're a fan podcast. We're both diehard fans.
Yes.
It felt like he was like that. That's like how we've talked week in and week out for the last 4 years right. on this podcast.
Right. We are not shy about the fact that Jack and I are diehard Titans fans, that we do this podcast out of a place of love and passion for our favorite NFL team. And, you know, there are a lot of podcasts out there that kind of hide that or try to be a little more objective. Jack and I are like, screw that. If Will Levis goes off in his rookie debut, we are going to come on the podcast next week and talk about how we've got the second coming of Tom Brady.
We're going to talk our shit. How yes.
Tom Brady was the first coming of Will Levis, more like. But hearing that come from the voice of the Titans, where he is in a job and a position where it's a little more buttoned up. You have to be a little more politically correct. You have to be a little bit more kind of on point. And to hear him say that, that one tells me this is a guy who grew up in Nashville, grew up in Tennessee. Obviously, he dropped the Castor Knot reference earlier on. That, I mean, you just know Mike Keith is as Tennessee as they come. Okay, even more so than John Robinson. And he'll probably keep his job for longer too. And I feel like Mike Keith also is passionate about what he does. And I think that's why his calls are so great. I think that's why, like, if Mike Keith, for whatever reason, got let go from the Tennessee Titans tomorrow, I don't think he would pursue a job as the Browns play-by-play man. Because no. I just don't think the passion would be there. I think he is truly doing something that he is insanely passionate about. And we benefit from that. As fans, we benefit from having a guy like that in that seat and doing the things that he does, like the OTP and the many projects he does with the Titans year-round. I think that is, we are so lucky to have that. And I don't want Titans fans to overlook that, because look, we're so focused on what happens in between the white lines on the gridiron, but we do have a lot of great things with this franchise, whether things are great or bad. We have a great owner. We have a great play-by-play man. And look, you can hate him all you want, but we've got a great mascot, T-Rack. Love you, dude. But like, I just don't want that to be lost on Titans fans of just how special of a person Mike Keith is. And the way I sang the praises of Derrick Henry in that interview, I feel the exact same way about Mike Keith, because he is truly special and he's as good of a human being that could be in that role as we could possibly have. Again, literally, word for word, what I said about Derrick Henry just a few minutes ago. I feel the exact same way about Mike Keith.
Players and coaches come and go, but Mike Keith is forever. And for that, I am thankful.
Whenever my daughter wakes up, and I did this with my firstborn, so my daughter will sleep in a sleep sack. When she wakes up, when you undo that sleep sack, it's her first time that her arms are free. And so it, like, just as a reaction, her arms just go straight up, just straight up in the air. And every time she does this, I did this with my first child, I will go, touchdown, touchdown. There are no flags on the field. It's a miracle. Tennessee has pulled a miracle. Every single time I do the entire call. And it is my homage to Mike Keith. Nobody knows I did that. In fact, if I had not have just said that on this podcast, the only other person that knows I do that every single time is my wife, because she hears me. But otherwise, no one knows. And that to me is just like my own like private homage to the greatness of Mike Keith.
I like how you're also brainwashing your daughters into becoming Titans fans with that as well.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure your neighbors love it too.
Yeah, that's another, you know, that's a small part of it. Okay, that's a massive part of it.
Couple interesting things happening still in free agency. That first wave really happened fast, and the Titans made a lot of splashes. This week, this past week's been much quieter, though they have gotten a couple deals done. Sebastian Joseph Day signed on Tuesday. He's going to be a defensive tackle. He's on a one-year deal. Decent pairing next to Big Jeff. And, you know, his best year came when he was next to Aaron Donald with the Rams. He's got the San Francisco ties, so it makes sense that Rand Carthon, you know, probably kicked the tires on him, maybe made a call to San Francisco and said, you know what, we really need a guy. This free agent lake has turned into a free agent kiddie pool, and it's time to make some moves before that pool dries up in the heat of the summer. So that's happened, but I think everybody's really kind of had their eyes on the situation with L'Jarius Sneed and the Chiefs, because it's been reported that the Titans and the Colts, both front runners for Sneed, but the Colts maybe have dropped back a little bit. The talks have kind of slowed down. Sneed wants to be the highest paid cornerback in football.
Yeah.
I get it. You know, his value is sky high. He's got to capitalize. CB1, back-to-back Super Bowl champs, go get your bag. There's some injury issues that apparently aren't that serious. Teams aren't scared of those. They're still in, you know, they're still talking to the Chiefs about it. It's not going to scare these guys off. And but my question is, Austin, to you, would you be cool? And the rumor is you're going to have to give up a high third round pick. That's what they're looking for. And then also match his salary demands, which is probably going to be around $22 million a year for probably a 4-year span. So you can lock up one of the best cornerbacks in football right now, but you'd have to give the Chiefs some draft ammo. And we know what the Chiefs do with draft ammo. Ugh. Titans this year don't have a third-round pick, but you can do some things on draft day, and there's going to be a lot of teams interested in seven. Would you be cool with giving up a third-rounder either this year if they acquire it through a trade, or your second-rounder this year, as opposed to a third-rounder next year? How do you feel about that? Because I talked to Austin Stanley about this, and he said he's kind of said what I was thinking. It sounds great and all. Like, L'Jarius Sneed, you pay a cornerback, you get your guy. But doesn't it sting a little bit to kind of fork over a pick to the Chiefs?
It does, yeah. And you know me, I am the biggest Chiefs hater alive. I cannot stand them. I went to the University of Missouri and know a lot of Chiefs fans, and they've essentially it's funny, a lot of them have anamorphed into what they hate the most, and that is Cardinals fans. Chiefs fans have become Cardinals fans of baseball, where they have this pretentiousness about them. And I so that has just boiled my blood into a hatred for the Chiefs that I just, you know, cannot be overstated. However, you know my take on this. I do not care about quote-unquote draft capital. I don't think draft capital is a real thing, or at least necessarily capital, as many people talk. Yeah, you can use it in forms of currency to get things that you need, but if you don't, to me, it's a coin flip as to whether or not that draft pick will pan out. I am always, always for turning in a draft pick for something that is already a proven commodity. Mm-hmm. That to me is always, I will always err on the side of that. Even if it was a first round pick, I would be more willing to give up a first round pick for a L'Jarius Sneed, someone who's at the top of their game, who is, you know, is going to make plays and lock down a side of the football for you, than to take my chances with a rookie cornerback in the league.
And how about that secondary, though? How about that secondary right now? You've got Imani Hooker at one of the safety spots. You're still looking for another. There's rumors about Marcus May. But then you'd have Chido Owusu, Roger McCreary, and L'Jarius Sneed. This is a league that is based around the pass.
Yes.
On offense and in stopping it on defense.
Right. And you can probably count on one hand the number of games the Titans lost solely because of guys getting beat deep on certain plays that have opened things
third
up.
Third and forever. I mean,
the Colts game alone, you lose in overtime because of big plays in overtime. And that to me, I think it's very important to get talent into the building as quickly as possible, because that will expedite the process of this quote unquote rebuild, retooling, whatever the hell you want to call it. Mm-hmm. you can go last to first place in the NFL. That it's the one of the few professional sports where you can make that jump in 1 year. You don't need a 2 or 3 year rebuild. And a guy like L'Jarius Sneed would help that. My only issue, my only problem is the price tag. I've always been in the camp of pay him whatever you need. Pay him whatever. It's not my money. I don't care.
I hear you.
However, a guy, L'Jarius Sneed, who is already, I don't know, halfway, maybe a third of the way into his career, you're going to be paying him $22 million. You just heard Mike Keith say, you know, there's a reason they traded Kevin Byard. $14 million safeties don't exist. And now we're talking about a $22 million cornerback.
Yeah.
I that's the part I get hung up on. However, if they do trade for him, I'm going to be on the front lines.
Oh, yeah.
Throwing the confetti in the air. Okay. I will be rock hard in the sense of my Titans fandom, and I would be all for it. Those are just my concerns going into it. But draft picks, yeah, hell yeah. Get rid of all your draft picks for L'Jarius Sneed. I don't care.
Sneed is freshly 27 years old, so he's not necessarily in Byard range yet. So still got his prime. He's right in the middle of his prime. 27 years old, year old cornerback. You feel good about what you can get out of him for over, you know, for a little 4 year stretch if that's what you choose to do. And for the money thing, I think that this is an interesting discussion because front offices can get creative. You can move around cap hits and pay for it really on the back end when you're probably competing for a Super Bowl. At least that's where you hope to be in a couple of years. But you know, I'm not really worried about them spending money right now because there aren't a ton of high price free agents left on the board for them to go get. You know, some of the guys that they're targeting are going to be lower end guys and dudes on maybe prove it deals or 2 year deals worth chump change. So this is one of the last options left available. Now he's not a free agent, but one of the last, you know, high priced dudes you can go out and get to make a major difference immediately on your football team. I think if the price is right with the capital, the draft capital, that is, you go out and do it. That would also open me up to being more receptive to possibly trading out of that 7th overall pick, you know, trading a little bit further back, maybe to the Vikings at 11 or 23, getting a tackle there, finding a receiver. Because if you do go get Sneed, you're probably going to be a little cap strapped at that point to where you're not going to be able to go find a right tackle, or you're not going to be able to go find that high price linebacker like a Jerome Baker or afford them for that matter. So you've got to probably find a dude like that in the draft at one or both of those positions when you go get Sneed. But if you don't get Sneed, then that's where you have to spend your money. Go get Marcus May at safety. Go get a linebacker that can start, because I'm not totally sold on Jack Gibbons or Otis Reese. So that's kind of how I look at this thing. Like it's a double-edged sword, right? You know, on one side, L'Jarius Sneed makes your football team so much better. But on the other side, you're still going to be deficient in the middle of your defense and on the right side of your offensive line, unless, and this is the X factor here for me, if Bill Callahan can get anything out of Dylan Raidens at right tackle.
I know.
I mean, how much does that change your football team right there?
It changes a lot. It changes the entire dynamic of your entire roster. And I not to be hyperbolic, but there's a reason the left tackle is the highest paid position on the offensive line or whatever. And if you can just anchor down your
anchor
offensive
down
line. Okay. Damn it. If you can just get your offensive line to look hottie toddy, then I feel like that it'll change the way all of us fans look at this roster. I mean, if you can turn Dylan Raidens into something, like,
yeah,
that changes a lot of things, and it makes you not have to go out and spend more money on something that you should already have based on previous draft picks and acquisitions. But that's a lot. But however, I don't want to start going down that wormhole, because I feel like that's a huge if, and you can't put your eggs in any of those. Like, well, if Brian Callahan can work, look, if candies and nuts were candies and nuts, then we'd all be having a Merry Christmas.
Exactly.
Right?
Great. That's a Zach Bingham favorite right there.
Shout out Zach Bingham.
But I mean, this is we're at a point, and I feel like Titans fans and us especially may have become a little greedy because of just how impressed we are with the offseason so far. Like, we came into this offseason saying, you're not going to be able to fix it all. Well, now it feels like you have so many solutions that are getting plugged into this team. You're like, well, wait a second. Maybe we can fix it all.
If you don't feel better about where the Titans are at than you did on December 31st of 2023, and I'm saying December 31st, because there was one game played after that, and it was a win against the Jaguars. Even though that was the previous regime, that game still did feel good as a Titans fan. It was great to knock your division rivals out of the playoffs as they did to you the year before. That was the first moment of feeling good. Then they can't win Vrabel. Then they bring in Brian Callahan, Bill Callahan, and the entire new offensive staff. Then they start bringing in the free agents. Things are starting to feel good as a Titans fan. And if you don't feel that way, honestly, I don't know what to tell you. You're probably just a miserable prick, which I don't have anything to prescribe for you. Go back and listen to the Mike Keith interview.
We fit that category last year for a good chunk of the time.
Yeah, well, yeah, especially during the season, for sure. There was very few things that could make us happy. But things are looking good, and I feel positive about a Titans fan. Now, with that said, other teams in the division are starting to look good too, especially one that has been at the bottom of the totem pole for an extended amount of time, a team that we used to, and keep in mind, I say used to, have a segment on this podcast where we would just straight up laugh at them. And it is the Houston Texans. Obviously, they looked really good last year. And they were one of those teams that made the jump from last to first and did so in the span of 1 year with the new head coach regime and a couple of really good draft picks. They made that jump, which should be hope for Titans fans that Titans could also make that jump. But they look good. They look like they're going to be good for a long time. And when I say look good, I now mean physically look good, because they leaked some new uniforms. I know there's Titans fans go back and forth. Some people love them. Some people think they're dumb. And look, if you're a Titans fan that think they're dumb, look, all the more power to you, because you should think everything that the Texans do is dumb. But Jack, I kind of like them. I think they look slick. I don't love that they're like dropping uniforms that are like pretty badass.
They don't look drastically different, I will say. Like, it's not like they went through a full scale change to make these things, but they do just look more modern and
like clean.
I do like it. They do look clean. Clean's a great word. They look clean, but you know, you still got to make navy work. And I think that that's one of the toughest things to do in sports uniforms, is how do you make navy pop? It's not a very poppy color.
See, I grew up.
The Titans have the
white
blue and the red make the navy pop. The Texans just have white.
I grew up a Penn State fan. I love navy. I think navy is slick. I think it is. I think it, like, it's dark. It's not black, but it's close. And it is. I don't know. I feel like. You have to do well with navy. I'm not a huge fan of navy pants with a white top, even though those seem to be the only road uniforms that the Titans win in. But I'm here for it. And also, I don't think we can get clown the Texans for their color scheme, because they're literally just a light blue away from being the exact Titans color scheme.
Yeah, but they copied us. You know, we didn't get to copy anybody. They copied us.
Yeah.
You also used to work at Abercrombie, so I feel like you're more educated to talk on this topic.
Easy, dude. I worked at American Eagle.
American Eagle, that's right.
There's a difference. Shout out Cool Springs Galleria. I worked at basically every... I think I worked at every store in Cool Springs Galleria at some point, but not Abercrombie.
I could see you at Claire's. Right. You have a stint in Claire's?
I may have pierced an ear or two back in my day.
Okay, hey, versatile, a versatile podcaster.
Is there anything Claire's is known for other than that? Like little kid, teeny bopper jewelry and piercing ears?
That's, I only knew the piercing, the ears pierced situation.
Yeah.
I don't really know what else they provide. Maybe makeup or something, I feel like. But you're asking just the wrong guy.
They put in where the KB Toys used to be at in Cool Springs Galleria. They put in a Love Sack store right when Love Sacks were getting popular. And my friend worked there, and I was so jealous because it was the – you just sat around. Like, nobody – like, they didn't sell – it was kind of like working the Dippin' Dots kiosk, which I did at the Cool Springs Galleria. They – you did not – there was not a lot of customers, clientele. You know, it wasn't very busy. So, like, they would just sit around and sit on Love Sacks all day and get paid for it. It was seemed like the best job. But the only job that I wanted more than Love Sack that I Spencer's? Could not get. No, I never wanted Spencer. I didn't wear enough. Like I didn't wear a chained wallet or JNCO jeans to work at Spencer's. The one job that I wanted, I could not get. And I got to know the manager very well. He was a track coach at Riverdale. Was Hat World, where, you know, now known as Lids. That was the job I wanted because obviously I was obsessed with hats and I knew hats. I was knowledgeable about hats and I could talk hats to anyone. I could sell anyone on a hat. But for whatever reason, I could not get that guy to hire me because they only hired like two or three people at a time. And so when one person would leave, if he filled that job right away, I had to be right there to get it. And I never was. And it just sucked. It sucked. I think his name was Miko. Miko was his name, was the manager. And he was an old track coach at a high school in Murfreesboro or Rutherford County somewhere. And damn it, I wanted that job so bad.
Miko, anyway, if you're listening, you made a great choice on going a different direction. I think it's better for everyone that you're still not working at Lids or Hat World. So yeah, Miko, if you're a Tupper, Great decision. Great employment decision. And also, if you're a Tupper, send anonymous applications to Hat World for Austin Huff. Let's get him in the front office for Hat World.
Miko, if you are listening, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. Leave 4.5 stars for the Tighten Up Idiots and 0.5 stars to Buck. We've successfully done it. We have bookended what is a fantastic podcast with very personal content that I don't think anyone outside of our parents care about, which that said, shout out to Jack's grandma if you are listening. What's up, Nana? Hope you're doing well. Lovely today.
Okay. All right. Let's wrap. We've got to move on from this segment. Shout okay.
out. Hey, girl. Hey, give me a call sometime. I met your son or your grandson over the weekend. And let's just say, look, if you're looking for a real grandson, hey,
oh
give
my
me a call.
God.
You know where to find me at Austin Huff on Twitter. You can find Jack on Twitter at Jack A. Gentry. Follow, of course, A to Z Sports at A to Z Sports on all the socials. And then, of course, this podcast at Tighten Up Pod, at Tighten Up Podcast on Instagram is the account. And make sure you send us your sewed titles so future sewed can be named after that. Something obscure about the Titans and or this podcast, whatever you want it to be. Give us your best. Jack, do you have anything for the road?
Happy March Madness. I'm pumped that this week is here. That's all I have. And I don't have any teams playing in it, but I mean, this is going to be awesome.
I was going to say, I did a quick once through the brackets earlier and I did not see Mizzou on there. It because they lost 18 conference games? They went 0-18 in conference play. Is that why?
Yeah, that could have had something to do with it. A lot of people were saying they really deserve to be in, but
yeah. Look, KenPom, they had a really good. In fact, they beat out the 2019 Vanderbilt team, who also went winless in conference. They beat out that team as the highest rated KenPom team of 0-16 conference teams. How about that?
The best of the worst. Hang the banner.
Look, hang the banner, right? Hang it. Right
the
next
Colts
to
will do
the,
it.
The Elite Eight in 2008. It's our two best accomplishments as Mizzou basketball fans. Jack, I was going to say one last thing and I can't think of what it was. Yeah. Shout out to if your team's in the tournament. Okay, we got to get out of here. This has been way too long of a podcast, but we love it. And after meeting each other, that's all Jack and I want to do anymore. It's just stare into each other's eyes and get lost.
Yeah, I have to look slightly down, but you know, you still have beautiful
eyes. All right, dude. Okay. We almost got out of here. All right. Yes, I'm a little shorter than Jack. Okay. Also, all of Jack's friends are shorter than him. Okay, that should be known. So he has to look down on everyone. He's pretentious.
I do have a short friend.
Yeah, he went to a private school, so of course he looks down on everyone. All right.
Brentwood High.
All of that said, until next week, tighten up.
They're the Tennessee Titans. They're the